Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the masquerade. It is a masquerade where there is the attempt to enforce on we the people a requirement that can diminish your health, and it's not efficacious for all of us to be put in the position of having to wear a mask of going into a business. In our earlier section of this broadcast today, we had Congressman Sabatini, Anthony Sabatini. He's an attorney, constitutional attorney, as well as being a representative in District 32 of the state of Florida. And he was talking about the issue, and perhaps you tuned in for that portion. We'll continue our conversation on that. We have Greg Youngblood with us, and we'll continue that. And Greg, I believe we have a call on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Good morning, Pastor. I really regret that a man I call the great Sabatini, after the great Santini movie that you may remember a number of years ago, had to go eat lunch. But, you know, you guys have raised an important issue this morning. It centers on the mask. And Attorney Sabatini has done a wonderful job in his job as a state representative, going around and doing what men really are required to do but aren't doing in the age in which we live, and that is to stand up against the darkness that's descending. We are the protectors of the culture, and you and Greg understand that probably better than anybody else. But we are not doing our job, but the representative has set an example. He's gone around filing lawsuits in Volusia County and Leon County, of course, the one that got all the notoriety down in Hillsborough County, challenging this utter nonsense of the masks. When this thing first came out, I think we needed to give it a little bit of time to validate itself, or actually self-validate itself as being false or accurate. And since the first couple of weeks of this mandated mask wearing, it's become intuitively obvious that mask wearing is a sham. It is not anything that is prophylactically beneficial in any degree and may even have a harmful effect. So what we need to do is do what Sabatini has done by standing up and saying, folks, not only will I disagree with it, but I'm going to take some action. I'm going to, in his case, I'm going to file some lawsuits, or as he said in the interview with a CNN liberal woman, I'm not going to wear a mask, you know, in a grocery store. And of course, he caught all sorts of flack for that.
Let me interrupt you for a moment. There are listeners right now on the other end of this radio, and they're rolling their eyes at you, and they're shaking their heads, and they're disagreeing. I'd like to invite any one of those to call. And if you think masks are efficacious, I'd like for you to tell us what kind of mask you're wearing. And I'd like for you to share with us scientifically what the specifications are for that mask, what that mask does for you or does for others. And I'd like for you to apply it to our current situation, because there are a few people out there I think are genuinely in complete belief with this notion that this is the greatest thing, this is exactly what we ought to do. If you believe that, would you call in and would you explain your position? By the way, I didn't mean to interrupt other than the fact that your point is so appropriate in this moment that this is a sham. This is a sham, and I hate that there are so many people out there today. They're probably listening to us. They think we're doing harm to the culture by saying this is a sham. I think it is a protective measure to identify things, identify faults where you see them, lies where you see them, especially when government is mandating to the community, because what mandate may come next? We all need to decide what hill are you willing to die on? And some would say, well, Greg, you're dying on the wrong hill because this just ain't worth it. And I have heard some people say, just wear the expletive mask. Just wear the mask. Well, you know, that sounds good. Why? When you put the mask on, when do you take it off? And for what purpose do you put the mask on? So if you call in, I want you to answer those questions. I'm going to put them to you. So go ahead, call in and tell us about your mask and tell us what it does for you.
Let's put the issue on a balanced scale. The scale on the right will be the benefits of wearing the mask, and the scale on the left will be the threats of wearing the mask. We never talk about what may be happening with these people that wear masks longer than, let's say, one use. You know, the human body's got all sorts of germs in it, and it's in what you expire. And that collects in the mask and grows all sorts of other bacteria and things that, over time, can be very harmful. And without developing that any further, I think that if we look at the pros versus the cons of wearing the mask are overwhelmingly strong. But the real reason this mask issue exists is to teach the American public to habituate the 80% bell curve distribution of people who are sheep to follow the mandates of the government. So eventually we can have this global hegemony that the great country of America, with its traditionally strong male leadership, has stood in the way of for so long, as does the nation of Israel. The last two nations that are standing firmly against hegemony, global hegemony, that has been the target of the globalists since the Tower of Babel. It is this initial issue of mask wearing to simply train us to behave like sheep, to accept a false premise. And I'll tell you, after that debate last night, which I refused to watch myself for a number of reasons, one of which, when I was in the service, I had in my official position at Andrews Air Force Base, had an encounter with a man I consider to be the most despicable broadcaster in the business, and that's Chris Wallace. I cannot look at him without a raging antipathy, so I just had to leave it off. But I'm told that he entirely mishandled the debate last night, and
yes,
what really the debate turned into was just a lot of, what should we say, meaningless acrimony between two people. However, the President of the United States, and what I've seen after the fact, did what Representative Zabentini has done. He stood up and he pushed back, and the feminized world that we live in doesn't like that. Well, you know what? That's too bad, because men have been declared to be the protectors of this culture. And because we haven't been in recent decades, we have upon us now the witch Nancy Pelosi. And, I mean, look at all the mid-30s and 40s female anchors that are on the news networks preaching sophistry and emotional reasoning in the face of the greatest threat that our nation has probably ever faced. My personal belief, and I'm prepared to defend it at length somewhere else, the next 31 days in this country are the most dangerous this nation has ever faced. There are a lot of people
I believe that's right.
Do not want Donald Trump to be reelected. And the face mask wearers are just the tip of the iceberg of what lies, and I say this, immediately ahead. I just saw a march of people in Washington, D.C. This last weekend. I was part of the process. Some really good things happened there, but a few not so good things were also evident. And one of that is that many people calling themselves believers don't even know what they really believe. And if you don't know what you believe and can't articulate the reason for your position, well, you're not really part of the helpful army that we need to resist what's happening. My views are, I pray, they're pessimistic. I pray that I'm wrong. But I believe that God has simply allowed Donald Trump to be elected 4 years ago to do what happened to Moses when he sinned against God. Then God took him up on a mountaintop and said, Moses, this is what you would have inherited had you done it my way. I think Donald Trump was empowered to give us the economy we did and everything else to show America what it would have been like if we had continued in the line of our forefathers who gave us what we have, the right to shape the government that's over us. And yet, because we have sinned against God, we're only going to see what it could have been. And I fear that this next, and I don't like that word, I believe that this next election, no matter how obvious it is that Donald Trump should be reelected, by the forces of the increasingly powerful evil that is coming our way is probably going to prevent that. Something is going to impact the continuance, God forbid, of our great president, Donald Trump, really the Cyrus of our era. But Americans need to understand, men need to understand, Christian men need to understand. They need to know the Word of God, stand on it, and take action. And I think that Representative Sabatini is an example of doing what we need to be doing and understanding what Greg so rightly said a few moments ago, to be able to defend this nonsense, this sophistry we are soaked in our country now, that like sheep and silly women, as Paul said in his letter to Timothy, I think in the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy, yes, like silly women laden with fears are being led into error. We got to stop this. We have to stop it if it can be stopped. Enough of my diatribe. Thank you for having Representative Sabatini, the great Santini of our age, on. And thank you
like
for what
it.
You guys are doing collectively as a team on the radio this morning. God bless you.
Thank you so much, like and God bless you. Thank you for your comments. It fits so well with the subject today that we're talking about. Greg, we're talking about this masquerade. And the thing that's egregious to me, and perhaps we have a listener that would like to jump in the dialogue and discussion, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your questions, your comments. I want to ask you, ladies and gentlemen, a very poignant, pointed, personal question. Are you wearing a mask? Do you believe that it is incumbent upon you to do so to protect your health? Well, let me just simply say this. I have stacks and stacks of research documents. It can reduce the wearing of a mask can reduce your oxygen intake by up to 40%.
Hold on. Along that line, y'all folks go to Wild Bill for America. You'll find him on Facebook. You'll love the man. He gives tidbits of absolute, just nuggets of wisdom. All right. And he had a mask wearing little diatribe, and he talked about being confronted by a woman because he wasn't wearing his mask. And then he walked through all the reasons why wearing a mask is bad for you. And he talked about the bacterial buildup. He talked about, if the virus is present and you touch that mask and this, and then you contaminate yourself based on a contaminated mask. And if you wear a mask more than once, you've got a contaminated mask and you've reintroduced that to your body. That bacteria is going into your lungs. He said, but beyond all that, you're about to touch the oxygen content. You know, OSHA reports that these masks, many of them, deprive your body of needed oxygen. You're not able to expel the carbon dioxide and ingest the oxygen. And at a certain point, you drop 3, 4, 5, 6 points on your oxygen level, and the OSHA declares that you are impaired. You should stay off of a ladder. You are impaired.
Right.
You could injure yourself. You have deprived your brain of oxygen. And you know what Wild Bill says? You know what that means? If you do it long enough, you'll become a Democrat. All right? So that's kind of the worst case scenario for you folks out there. I'm sure, hopefully it won't go that far. But we need to realize that, and by the way, if you want to wear a mask in your car while you're driving alone, keep doing it. I think people may look at you and wonder about you a little bit, but keep, and because a mask mandate may go away, that doesn't mean you can't keep wearing a mask. I mean, October 31st is coming. There are going to be kids that want to wear a mask, and they'll be told they can't wear a mask. Do you understand what's going on here? Mm-hmm. So you can keep wearing a mask if you want to. I just choose myself based on a logical analysis of the facts and details available to all of us now. I've chosen that doesn't make really good sense for me. It doesn't protect me from you or you from me. It may make you feel good. But that's about the furthest I can go with the positive effect.
Well, what we've developed, Greg, in America as a result of COVID-19, we've developed the Hitler's brown shirt snitch program.
Where are your documents?
That's where are the documents. And ladies and gentlemen, as one of our callers just said, that it's setting the pace for getting us acclimated to following governmental orders, wear a mask. Then the next thing on the agenda will be when the COVID vaccinations are out. They'll probably have 3 or 4.
We need documents of that vaccine.
We'll need documents to prove that you're vaccinated. It's called the COVID pass, COVID pass, P-A-S-S, the COVID pass. That's here are my documents. And here's the point, Greg, that I want our listeners to understand. If we're willing to submit without any question government orders to wear a mask. It is the first major step in getting the people, we the people, acclimated to following governmental orders when they say you must line up and take the vaccination. Yeah,
what happens? I mean, right now, I'm visiting Jacksonville, Florida. I've stepped up to business door after business door and been told you got to wear a mask. And I'm going, well, I don't have to have what you have in your business. I mean, I'm in that position where I don't have to. I'm willing to spend money in your city here in Jacksonville. It used to be my city for 31 years. I wanted to come here and spend money, but I couldn't because they wanted me to wear a mask that I don't need to. Technically, you know, based on these carry permit things and all, it's an illegality issue, but I'm not going to wear it because it's a sham. And I'd like to let other people know it's a sham. But, you know, literally it's cut off commerce. But how far do we let this go? Because like you're saying, this is like the German era. You know, where are your documents? What happens when they tell you you can't fly? I think they're already telling you that.
Right.
You know, you got to wear a mask. But what happens when the vaccine comes out and says you can't fly unless you get the vaccine? You can't send your child to school without the vaccine. You can't go to work without the vaccine. We are just one step or two steps away from the mark of the beast being okay.
Absolutely.
Understand, without the mark, you won't be able to buy or sell.
Or open your business.
We're there. Literally, people are always, looking for the next sign, the next sign, the next sign, based on what the Bible has to say. I'm telling you, folks, we're introducing a system that says government has the ultimate authority, the final authority. All you need to do is bow.
You touched on the Revelation 13 text, verses 1 through 18, where the Antichrist steps on the scene. It's after the rapture of the church. The false prophet, that is the false, phony religious leader, and they set up a system, and that's after the rapture of the church. It's during the days of the tribulation, where you can't buy or sell or eat or go to college or do anything without the mark, without accepting the COVID pass. Here's the point that I want our listeners to understand. We're setting the stage right now so the merchants become the law enforcement arm of the government, that the merchant is the one. The government says, well, you know, we just want that for your health. But yet they're holding the merchants responsible. Take the example in New Jersey where the gym owner, they've gone in and locked his doors. They shut his power off. They canceled
his business license.
On one occasion, they even backflushed the sewer system to cover his floor in his gym.
Jacksonville does stuff like that. Maybe not to that point, but Jacksonville does stuff like that. It's horrible what sometimes is done with the authority that's given to these folks.
And so what we're doing, ladies and gentlemen, if we submit to this order and we fall in line as sheeple, rather than we the people, if we do that, we're the enablers for the strong arm of the government to take it one notch further. When do we say no? Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a very serious issue. We're talking about the masquerade, where right here in the city of Jacksonville, we have now renewed the COVID order by the mayor that says you can't go into a place of business without a mask. Here's the bifurcation of that, Greg. Our sheriff, Mike Williams, which I think is a super nice guy, doing a fantastic job as sheriff of our city. And Mike says that they are not under any orders to enforce the mask mandate. He said, we do not send officers out to enforce the mask mandate. The sheriff says that it's a recommendation only and not a mandate. Yet our mayor likes to call it a mandate and then places that mandate on the shoulders of the merchants that want them to become the law enforcement to enforce that mandate. I was faced with that as you talked about going to businesses and being turned away. I was faced with that with a local merchant. I'm in the process now of negotiating with that merchant's headquarters out of Houston to determine if they're willing to send a letter of apology for what they did or whether or not we need to file suit for the rights and the freedoms that we have.
Some of these merchants have been put in a real pickle. They've been told by their governing authority, you know, the authority is not really there, but they've been told by the mayor, hey, you need to do this. We're gonna make you our unpaid police officer for the day, and you need to make sure everybody's wearing a mask. And by the way, along this line, if for you movie buffs out there, you've seen movies like Eagle Eye, Terminator, iRobot, a bunch of different movies where, you know, humanity creates a tool that's supposed to benefit, make life easier, and that's supposed to look out for the safety of our community. And then that robot, that thing, that technology takes over and then dominates us. We have done that. Hollywood's been seeing this for many, many decades. They've made movie after movie about it. But that's not a robot. We created the government, not vice versa.
That's right.
We established.
We're the boss, if you will.
We established the government. Now the government says, hey, you've given us power. And because we're looking out for your safety, by the way, Mayor Curry, if you're looking out for our safety, if this is a real thing, Mr. Curry, why weren't you wearing a mask at the rally last week? I don't want to beat up on you, but you were in a crowd of 30,000 people, and you and your wife weren't wearing a mask. If you were wearing a mask, it wasn't beneficial, but you weren't wearing a mask. And it's shameful in a community to try to pound on people, to force upon people something that can be it's deceitful for them to believe that they're actually benefiting themselves or the community.
Nancy Pelosi, for example, said you need to wear a mask when she goes to get her hair did.
It's good for thee, but not for me. It seems that this has become very common within the class of people that we hire. That we hire to do our bidding, to do good for us.
Who was it just recently? Another one of the legislators that was in an airport that had no mask on. And she had just been recently on television talking about that everybody need to follow the science and everybody need to wear the mask.
Was that Feinstein?
Diane Feinstein.
She's a real people. She wants to take away everybody else's guns, but it's okay
jet,
for her.
Walking through the private jet port where she has the private jets to fly her at taxpayers' dollars with no mask on. Ladies and gentlemen, it goes back to the fact that we have our, quote, leaders that have been elected by we the people, hired, paid for by we the people, that's telling us what we can or cannot do for our own safety and protection. We need to have the responsibility and take that responsibility and authority to watch out for our own health. I believe we have a call on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, I think that you and Greg are right on. You're spot on about using these merchants as the police. So how far will it go? Thursday, I have a repairman coming to repair my oven. When he knocks on the door, will he say, do you have any weapons in the house? If you do, I can't come in. I'm sorry.
We're getting almost there. I recall back to the days, and of course, the question is always asked, what hill are you going to die on? Pick the hill. Is this battle really worth it? Well, I thought the battle was worth it when after the Boston Marathon, you had law enforcement going door to door, and people were flinging open the doors. Come on in my house. And I'm thinking, that's crazy. These are searches and seizures potentially. And law enforcement friends, by the way, families, law enforcement. I've got hundreds and hundreds of law enforcement friends from the local level to the federal level. However, even as my friend, with your gun and badge, when you show up at my front door and say, I need to go in your house, I'd have to ask, for what purpose? And once they answer that, I'd have to say, based on what authority? But these people were letting folks into their house willy-nilly. Now, I don't know how many arrests turned up that didn't have anything to do with the Sarnia, whatever, their brothers that did the Boston bombing. But the same kind of thing happened after Hurricane Katrina. They went door-to-door seizing firearms, and people were handing the fire. I'm going, people, do you not understand what your rights are? Do you not understand that you have a right to keep and bear arms? It's not a government-given right. It's a God-given right. Come on, people.
That's the thing that I believe our listeners need to understand is as we have a constitutional republic and a representative form of government, and we need to recognize the codification in our Bill of Rights of the rights that we do have. You're exactly right, spot on. What you have said and what our previous callers have said and indicated is that this is just the beginning of making sheeple out of the we the people and causing us to just simply fall in line for the next step, the next step, the next step, where there's total governmental control. It is antithetical to anything that I call our Bill of Rights and the freedoms that we have in that Bill of Rights. Thank you so much for your input. Have a blessed day today. Greg, as we talk about this, I'm looking at one of the orders by the judge locally with the mayor. It's Judge Katie Daring. And Daring said, it's not the role of the judge to second-guess a decision by another branch of government about a measure aimed at protecting the general public. How do you respond to that?
Did she swear an oath to support, protect, and defend the Constitution?
Absolutely. That's the point.
I'm sorry. And she's dealing with another person that took the same oath that he would support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Why in the world do we all of a sudden say, well, it's not up to me to second-guess that? Well, yes, that's exactly your job.
Yes.
That's why we give you the black robe.
That's right.
We don't have the Supreme Court say, well, no, y'all really can't second guess. This is a system of checks and balances. Every single one of you should catch these problems. The mayor shouldn't have made the order. Okay,
right.
The mayor shouldn't have made the order.
In fact, it's antithetical to what the governor just did in lifting all bans across the state of Florida.
Absolutely. Here's the dilemma, and I mentioned this in years past. I challenged the oath of office in 1995 in Jacksonville, Florida, because they added the words "and government." So the oath was, "I do swear or affirm to support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States and the state of Florida. So help me God." And they added the words "and government." So it says, "I do swear or affirm to support, protect, and defend the Constitution and government of the United States and the state of Florida. So help me God." And you go, stop. Those are two opposing forces. When the government treads on your constitutional liberty, which one are you going to cling to?
That's right.
And that's where we are today. That's why it was so important. By the way, I spoke with legislators then, and they said, oh, this is like, you know, arguing how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. I said, no, it's not. This is critical. This is important. We have to address this, because we get to this point in place and time where Christians even are in a dilemma. They go, well, who do we listen to? Well, you know, the Constitution is self-described as the supreme law of the land. Why in the world do we have any qualms about that? Now, Mr. Mayor, obey your oath. Oh, we're good. I love you, man. But obey your oath. Do what you're supposed to
That's do. Right.
If you think there is a scientific rationale behind what you are ordering, give us the information. Give us the details and make a recommendation. But by all things that are decent, do not do these unconstitutional mandates. The next generation, you may have whole pure intentions, but the next generation of mayor may take it a step further.
Absolutely.
And a step further. So, Mr. Curry, Mr. Mayor, stop, back up, consider what you're doing, considering the damage. Once people accept this, what will they not accept? How far, you know, it's the jump and how high thing.
Mm-hmm.
How high are people willing to jump?
This is
how
the reason I recommended every listener today pick up the telephone, call the mayor's office, and say, Mayor, shame on you. Pick up the telephone, call
the
mayor's
office.
And I'm
not mad at the man.
No, I'm not either. Pick up the telephone, call the mayor's office, and say, I am asking you to cease and desist the treading on our constitutional liberties. Here's the further statement by the judge in this case. Judge Daring said, wearing a mask to prevent the spread of an airborne virus is no more intrusive than wearing a helmet while riding a bicycle or motorcycle.
That's an interesting analogy. We could keep going with that. Now, giving up your guns is no more intrusive than
that's the whole point.
How far? But from a Christian standpoint, the verse that keeps coming to my mind over and over is the 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Amen.
I think God gave us the ability to think through these things.
Absolutely.
And to read and to study and determine what's best for ourselves and our families.
Absolutely.
Give us the information. Feel free to share. But the dictates, the mandates, the unconstitutional mandates are a step too far.
Absolutely. Here's a verse in Psalms, Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. We're looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.